I'd like to talk about some work that Steve Seibold and I have been collaborating on, looking at oak croak. And oak croak is basically the name that forest health specialists have been giving oak mortality that's been occurring in Southern California in San Diego County since about 2002. And it's been pretty consistent over these years. Here you can see this is a lot of dead and dying coast live oak. This is in Pine Valley on Cleveland National Forest. This is Interstate 8 going to San Diego. But over the past 6 years, we've estimated about 17,000 dead oaks on and around the national forest. So we have seen a lot of mortality in coast live oak. We're also mapping it in California black oak and canyon live oak. This is three of the four native canopy oak species in Southern California. And this is not just the national forest problem. It's on private land, it's on county land, state land, tribal land. It crosses all ownerships. And it's having a lot of impacts, of course, with aesthetics and property values for the private land. But for the Forest Service, we're having a lot of problem with hazard trees. We're losing a lot of California black oak in our picnic areas and our campgrounds. This is causing a lot of hazard trees for us. And we have had to shut some of these areas down because the mortality has been so extensive. And because there is so much tree mortality across the landscape, this is increasing the fuel load. And in Southern California, this is a major problem with wildfires. So early on, people thought this oak mortality was related to a lot of other oak mortality in California, and that was from sudden oak death. But people have tested for it numerous times, and they've never found it, and they've never found any significant pathogen. So everybody was attributing the drought or the mortality to drought, and that's kind of where oak croak came from. But we have a new name for it. How about the gold-spotted oak borer, Agrilis coxalis, or as we call it around the office, GSOB. So what do we know about GSOB? That about sums it up. Basically, there's very little information out there in the literature, and what we can piece together are primarily collection records. It was first described in southern Mexico. It's been caught several times in Chiapas, Guatemala, a few collections in southeastern Arizona, very southern tip of Baja, and the first collection we can find in California was in 2004. Initially, everybody was calling this kind of a range expansion, but when you start talking to people on the national forest or the public, they all kind of say the same thing, that oak firewood was brought in from Mexico for about 20 years, and that sounds about right. So there's never been any damage or mortality reported in these native areas from this species. We didn't know the hosts. We didn't know the larva habitat, so it's basically kind of a clean slate. So what do we know now? Well, some of the first symptoms you come up to on these trees is a lot of bark staining. This is coast live oak, this is California black oak. And this staining can be pretty extensive. And it can go from the root collar basically up to the larger branches. And it can appear as kind of this very dark, wet, stained area. Or it can also kind of look like this bleeding, which you may think of with sudden oak death. And it can be very viscous, kind of like a corn syrup or molasses. Something else that you also find are adult exit holes. They are your typical kind of D-shaped exit hole, about 4 millimeters in width. But what is impressive is the density they are coming out of these trees. This is a picture of the same tree. It's basically just two sides, and all these toothpicks are stuck in exit holes. But what is impressive is this tree is still alive. This is the same tree. And some of the other symptoms you kind of see are thinning of the crown, and you'll start to see twig dieback right around the edges, and this is coast live oak. Here's the larva, basically your similar or your common agrilis looking larva. They do this kind of pre-pupal behavior in the outer bark. And they're feeding primarily on the wood surface. So when you go to these trees in these stained areas, if you cut into these trees, one of the first things that happens is usually water comes gushing out. But these stained areas are basically patch killed. So here's a patch kill. These are all stained on the exterior. And it's really high density larva feeding. It's basically just larva galleries almost on top of each other. And you can see all the black lines or other larva feeding. These are both coast live oak. Here is another patch kill. And you can see how extensive the feeding is. And these trees are alive. Here's what the galleries look like. Again, primarily right on the wood surface in the xylem, cambium, and the phloem. They really have no kind of gallery pattern to their feeding, kind of this meandering type shape. Sometimes you will see them kind of do this vertical type feeding on the wood surface. But they feed mostly here. They move to the outer bark to pupate. And we haven't seen eggs yet, and we haven't seen younger instar larvae yet. Here's where we found it in Southern California, using our aerial survey data and then also ground checking these sites. Really high mortality is occurring around Descanso and Pine Valley. This here is one of the first collections in 2004. It's in Cuyamaca State Park. We're also seeing some good mortality pop up around Julian, but the kind of north-south range of this is 50 kilometers. So early on, we kept finding the damage, and we were finding the larvae, and we really needed the adult. So we started throwing out a lot of traps, but also try to potentially figure out something about its life history. So we put out Lindgren funnel traps, window traps. We got some of these emerald ash borer monitoring traps, the purple prism and the lime green traps. It didn't take long to figure out which one they like most. They really love these purple prism traps. Basically, very few or none in the window or Lindgren funnel traps. We received the lime green traps so late in the season, I didn't include the data, but they are attracted to it and they will hit it. So here's from our purple prism trap data. We put these out in mid-June. Basically, that was our highest trap catch then. You can see it's kind of declined. But we are still kind of getting hits all the way up into early November. And I just checked them this past week and I didn't see any. So hopefully it's done. But this was a little over 470 adult beetles on 8 traps across 2 sites. And from this, we think that it completes about a generation a year. Also from kind of looking in the trees, we think maybe some of the population takes a little bit more than a year to develop. Just to show you the extent of this injury in the stands, these are in areas of dense mortality of Pine Valley and on Mount Laguna, looking in coast live oak forest type and then also California black oak Jeffrey pine. So there's about 30 trees per hectare, and oaks make up about 20 trees per hectare, and you can find about 70% injury on these trees. And in some areas, it's almost 90%. Basically, anything not showing signs of attack, it's the young regeneration. I haven't found attacks on anything less than about 8 inches in diameter. But there's already 13% of these trees in a stand are killed by GSOB. So what's the potential threat to California? California has 20 native oak species. 8 of them are considered canopy oak species. GSOB already aggressively attacks and kills coast live oak, California black oak, and canyon live oak. And it can easily kind of spread up the coast or through the Sierras in these native oak distributions. This is also just to show you where oaks are on the landscape. Basically, they cover from about 2,700 meters all the way down to sea level. Right now, a lot of the GSOB mortality is about 1,800 meters, almost down to about 300 meters. And most of the oaks in Northern California are kind of in this area below. It's about 1,200 meters. So this insect is kind of withstanding some cold temperatures up on Mount Laguna, and I think it can potentially move further north. So how's it going to get there? Well, it could go by firewood. There's a lot of dead oaks in these areas, and there's a lot of firewood all too often. So it is a concern for us, and this is a piece of coast live oak firewood. You'll see this little white right here. That is a mature larva and a piece of bark. Firewood, and I've seen this several times. So we are kind of taking actions against moving firewood off the national forest. So as far as our 2009 plans, really basically continue everything we started, because we found this in late May and really kind of started doing the work in June. So continue looking at life history, really look at when the adult's flying, how long does it take for the larva to develop. Really kind of expand our trapping off the national forest, look in some of these areas on private land and up into the other districts, but also all of Southern California. With a lot of the work with emerald ash borer, we're gonna kind of follow suit, look at different trapping heights and look at different baits to see how well these work. One thing we are really interested in is host susceptibility. We don't get a lot of these northern oak species in the Southern California, so we're curious if they are susceptible. We're gonna do some suppression work with systemics, get in the forest stand, see how much injury it is causing, look at the regeneration, look at the fuel loading, and then certainly we have our firewood study already going. So with that, I'd like to thank Forest Health Protection and Forest Health Monitoring with Region 5, Steve's Chemical Ecology Lab with PSW. Charles Bellamy, Henry Espinati, and Rick Westcott were there from the beginning. They helped us ID the species, and they gave us their collection records, so we certainly thank them. And then the Cleveland National Forest has been great. They've basically, every time I've asked for something, they've given it to me. And with that, if I have time, I'll take questions. The question was, how long do we know how long it takes for the tree to die? I'm saying several years. It takes several repeated attacks, and because it's so new, nobody's really been following first time once we can find symptoms to when they die. So that is something else that we'll be looking at this year.
Did you guys have any plans to do fungal inoculation or look at different fungal communities associated with the field? I mean, black staining.
So the question was if we're looking for any kind of fungal association. Right now we're looking at basically Phytophthora and the roots, if it's increasing tree susceptibility. And a lot of that work is pending. It should be due by December. People have taken a lot of the samples from the bark, and again, they've never found anything. We've taken that too, and we're going to continue a lot of that work, but none of it's really come. We don't have any data on it yet. No, I haven't seen it on anything less than about 8 inches in diameter. So we did some other work looking at landing rates, and it seems to hit higher on the main bole, but all the way down to the root collar, but nothing on much smaller branches.
Like the bronze birch borer, you'll see that starting up the flagging in the smaller branches.
You don't really get any flagging with this. It's just kind of a general thinning of the crown, especially with California black oak. You can kind of predict it in stages with coast live oak.
But you haven't reared it out.
No, we've reared it out of cut logs, and that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.